All right, so this morning we're going to continue with the series that we've been looking at called Back to Basics. Back to Basics. And so we started looking at this series from the beginning of the year. And the key thing is, I believe God wants us to go back to the basics, which is to remove all the complicated things that we have made God to be, so to speak. Some people will tell you, you know, you have to pray in a particular way. You need to have gone to church every single day for about 2 years consistently before God can really have anything to do with you. Or if you're not doing this. Now, all those things are good. If you can go to church every day, that's great. But those are not the really fundamental things about God. And I think the perspective I'd like us to have is to view God as a person. And I believe that as we begin to have that perspective, that God is a person, well, not a human being that has arms and legs, but as a person that has feelings, the Bible tells us, a person that, you know, cares, not just as a being somewhere who is just smoke or wind or something that has no real connection with us. And I believe that as we begin to see God in that perspective, it will really help our relationship with Him. So the reason I'm saying back to basics as well is this. How would you feel if, say, for example, I was introduced to you today and we started talking here at church and I said, okay, this guy seems like a nice guy. We'll pay him a visit. Oh, nice woman, we'll pay her a visit. And we just came to your house, maybe Dickiness and I. Knocked at the door. Knock, 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 knock. And as you opened the door to us, we just said, okay, thank you. We've come from the church to pay you a visit. And the look we have on our faces, well, my goodness, let's just get this over with. This is like a real drag. We don't want to make it seem like we don't care. And it's written all over our faces. Why do you guys do that to people? It's like, oh, and you know, it's there that you're just performing a necessity, like going to school sometimes. And it's there. It's just like, you know, God, I'm here. Pastor Benson, I said we should pray. All right. Oh, I'm praying today, God. Pastor Benson said we should read our Bible. All right, let me just run through this. Psalm 1. Oh, done. Whew. I've done my bit for today, God. We're good. All right. And just treats him as if, well, you're just some God that's there somewhere. No, he doesn't want us to view him that way. Why? Because he's a person. Do you understand? So God is saying, look, all these things that you've learned about church, it's fantastic, but can you just step back a bit and get to know me better? I remember when I met my wife, this was about 23 years ago. I had a beard then, I think. So, you see that? 25 years ago. I'm not talking about that first meeting there. I'm talking about later. You know, when I came to your house. We'll keep that under the wraps for now. If you want to know how I met her, you can. So, when I met my wife, and after a while, I asked her to marry me. She said, of course, I'll marry you. Such a great guy. I take that back. So, but the point I'm trying to make is this. At that point, I had finished university and I started work as an accountant somewhere. And you know what my routine was? My routine was I'd finish work at 5:30 sharp, go home, change. 6, I'd leave my house and I'll be at a house every single day apart from some Sundays. 6:30 to 12 every day, 6:30 to 12 every day for almost 2 years. And in those days, there was no internet. We didn't have cable or any of that. Nothing like that. We just sat in her living room and we talked. And I remember, you know, that after a while, her sisters, although they didn't, she didn't tell me this till after we got married, they'll be upstairs. She had about, she has about four, so, or three sisters. And they'll be whispering upstairs, "Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. When is that guy going? Isn't that guy going home?" Obviously, they didn't tell me this. And we talked straight like that all the time. Then I, if we fast forward now, I remember she was telling me a few weeks ago that, we don't even see you nowadays. Where are you?" I'm like, "You know, dear, you know, I have to do this. I have to travel. There's church. There's, I have to write this manual. I have to write this. By the way, I have to do this." So on and so forth. And she just looked at me. I won't tell you what she said. But what she was, I mean, one point she made, she makes a few times that, "You know what? I remember those days when it was just you and I. And we would just sit down and talk and talk and talk." I said, "Yeah, I remember those days as well." No responsibilities, no mortgage, no kids. Nothing whatsoever. But so God is saying, look, for us, let us come back to Him that way. Leave all the complicated bits out there and just come to Him in a very simple manner. Do you understand what I mean? So that's what I believe God's heart is for us. This, I mean, always. But He wants us to come to Him that way. So that was the prelude to what I was actually going to discuss today. So we've looked at loving and knowing God. We've looked at worship. We looked at that last week and the week before. Today, I want us to look at the Holy Spirit. And again, when I say the Holy Spirit, a number of things could come to our minds. But I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. Some people think the Holy Spirit is some sort of like mystical, you know, something mystical, something, you know. Anytime you mention the Holy Spirit, people have to be like, you know, shaking and, you know, just... You can't shake, you know, please don't let that stop your shaking if that's what you like. Or it's like really mystical. Oh, no. This is really something that is, you know, you just have to, you know, walk in a particular way. No, the Holy Spirit is not weird. Do you understand what I mean? So we'll look at a number of things about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? We'll look at three things today, if time permits. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing we want to note is that, well, the only thing we want to note about the Holy Spirit is that He is God. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible tells us that He was there at the point of creation. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So the Bible tells us that at the beginning, when God was about to create the earth, it says in verse 2, Genesis chapter 1, "The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So before the creation of this world, He was there as part of the Godhead. The other thing is that, you know, supporting that, the fact that God, that the Holy Spirit is God, the same as, you know, God the Father and the same as Jesus Christ. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, you know, when we're doing like, when we're doing baptisms, we baptize people in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. So that's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So we begin to see here that the Holy Spirit is not just mist. He's not like a dove. You know, the Bible says He descended on Christ like a dove, but it didn't say that He's a dove. He's God Himself. Now, Peter said something very interesting as well about the fact that the Holy Spirit is actually God. If you look at Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. And in this scenario, there are two people who had acted really funny in terms of some things that had to do with God. And there was this man and woman called Ananias and Sapphira. and they said they sold their property and they gave some to the church, but they lied. It's a long story. You can read it up in Acts chapter 5. But the point I want to make is this. Peter, confronting them, said this. He says, I'll start from one. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has fueled your heart that you lied to the Holy Spirit and you have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? It says, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after you sold it, wasn't the money at your disposal? Now, this is the part I want us to see as well. What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to human beings, but to God. So Peter refers to the Holy Spirit first, and he now refers to him as God as well. So we just want to realize that the Holy Spirit is the least spoken person about in the Godhead. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know about God the Father. We know about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is also God. Do you understand? So that's who the Holy Spirit is. The second thing we want to look at this morning, and that's the bit that really pertains to us. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit as it relates to you and I? What did Jesus say? Now, before Jesus went away, let's look at John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. Let me paint a scenario for you guys here. Now, Jesus had been around on the earth for about 3 years. Just a little bit over 3 years. And he was about to be crucified. And he began to tell his disciples, guys, I'm paraphrasing now, I'm going to be crucified and I won't be here anymore. Now, these are guys that they had left their jobs. These are guys that they had left everything to follow Christ. I mean, these guys were so confident anytime they were with Christ. You know, like having like a big brother who's like Joshua. And he's like, the guy's, you know, his brother's walking in school and he's like, you know what, you say a word, I'm just going to put you to AJ. And these guys were so confident. When they were ill, Jesus would heal them. If it was their mom or their mothers that were ill, like the mother of Peter, Jesus healed her. If someone died, Jesus raised them from the bed and from the dead. There was a time that the HMRC came to Peter. And they gave him a few red letters. And they said, Peter, you either pay up or it's jail for you. And you know what Peter did? He went to Christ. He said, the HMRC are after me. But you guys have no idea of that. The HMRC have wrote quite a few letters to me. And it's jail. In those days, it was jail. You didn't get like those nice letters, you know, handwritten. No, people arrived at your house. If you had kids, they would seize your kids and say, until you've paid, she's gone. So he came to Christ and Christ said, you know what? You just go to River Avon. I'm paraphrasing River Avon with a fishing rod. Throw that fishing rod in there. Catch one fish. When that fish comes out, don't kill it. Open its mouth and you find money there for your tax. I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine if you came to me and you said, don't come to me and ask me for that. I'm just example. And he said, oh, Pastor Benson. Oh, we need someone. I said, no problem. You just go borrow a fishing rod, go to River Avon there and just pluck it in there. Whatever fish you get, open its mouth, you see a diamond in there. Just go. That diamond, each diamond you find there is worth £1 million. And you ask yourself, oh my goodness, this is so weird. This Pastor Benson guy, oh, I'll do it anyway. And you go and you get that diamond and you go and cash it in and it's £1 million. What would you think about me? Wouldn't you be my friend? You'd be so confident, like, man, I can take on the world. You know, when people came to harass them, they would just turn to Christ. Christ would deal with them. Now, they had enjoyed all these benefits. Christ now said, guys, I'm going away. They probably thought, okay, maybe he's going down to Sainsbury's or he's going down to Swindon. He's going to be back and all that. And he said, guys, no, I'm not just going, I'm going away. Reality began to kick in and they began to panic. And one said, where are you going? You know, I can imagine them pulling Jesus aside, saying, where are you going? Are you going to leave us here? How about the Pharisees? Who's going to sort out HMRC for me? Who's going to do this for me? And they were in utter panic. Utter panic. Jesus now began to tell them something. And in John chapter 16, verse 14, it says, So he said to them in, if I look at 17, in a little while you will see me no more. Then after a little while you will see me because I am going to the Father. And they kept asking, what does he mean a little while? We don't understand what Jesus is saying in this matter. Panic began to set in. Then he began to tell them something as well. He began to tell them about the Holy Spirit. And he said, when I go away, I'm going to send someone to you guys. That person is going to be another me. And he said, look, I'm not leaving you guys on your own as orphans. That wouldn't be fair at all. I'm not just going to leave you in the hands of nature. I'm not just going to leave you in a lurk. Was it a lurch? You can pick whichever one you prefer. I'm not going to leave you in that. I'm going to send someone. And the advantage of this person that I'm going to send to you is that he will be with you everywhere. He won't just be like me, that I'm in this condition. I'm limited to this physical body, where if you have a problem, you have to look for Jesus all the way to Nazareth or somewhere. He said, no. I'm sending you someone else that will be with you every single day, every single hour. So it will just seem as if I am right there with you all the time. Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Now, what are some of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus began to say some things about the Holy Spirit. And he said in John chapter 14, 16, are we there? That I will send you, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. Another advocate, another person. So Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit to help them and to be with them forever. So the same thing applies to you and I. Now, as you're sat here and you have so many things on your mind, maybe there are things that's like you're not even quite sure of how you're going to, you know, do what you need to do. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is right beside you to help you. The same way Jesus would have helped you if Jesus was sitting right by your side. He says the Holy Spirit is here to help you. Do you understand? And not just to help you today and not tomorrow. He says forever. Do you understand? So as you're sitting here, the Holy Spirit is with you. 14:26, John 14:26. So Jesus said something. The second thing he said about the Holy Spirit is that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach us all things. Now, all things, it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have spoken to you. Now, when he says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, it means all things. So, it's not saying that the Holy Spirit will only teach us things about the Bible, which he does, we'll look at in a moment. But the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit can teach you maths. He can teach you geography. He can teach you how to do do you understand? He can actually teach you all things. I remember, so many times where I work or in some of the places that I've worked that is really high pressure. And there's one that really sticks out of my mind a lot of the times. I remember I was in this office and I had a team of people that I was working with. And they gave us a problem to solve. And I'd made so much, there's this phrase that people say, I'd made such a big boast of it. I was like, this, we'll sort this out in a week. And everybody was waiting for us to give the solution to that problem. And my team members, we tried every single thing we knew. The thing wasn't working. And, you know, the thing we were doing either worked or it didn't work. And my boss would come, so how is it going? How is it going? Oh, I'd be like, you know, we're on it. And it went on and on and on. And if you have your boss asking you, how is it going? First week, how is it going? Second week, how is it going? Third week, how is it going? Fourth week, sixth week. You know, you begin to count down your days because the job I was doing then, how is it going the sixth week? You're out of that job. So I'll be out of the job. All my team members that were looking up to me as well, they'll be out. So I now remember that, you know what? God said that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Do you understand? So this particular day, I remember it very clearly. I just said, guys, we will get the solution to this problem. Give me time. And their eyes were like red with fear. Like, man, this thing had better work. I said, no problem. I went to the toilet, went into one of the cubicles. I locked the door and I knelt down in the toilet. And I said, God, you said Holy Spirit would, that's desperate measures. The Holy Spirit would teach us all things. I have this problem and it needs to work. Otherwise, I'm out of this job. And that's how I prayed. And in a split second, a thought came to my mind. I said, my goodness, this is incredible. And I knew that was the answer. Came out of a cubicle, bounced out. I think I washed my hands. I wasn't too sure. Maybe I did wipe my hands. And I came out and I just went there, went to the computer, pa, 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 da, pa, play. And it worked. They said, how did you do it? How did it work? I said, you guys, don't worry. Holy Spirit, man. So many things like that. Do you understand what I mean? So the Bible says that Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Not just the Bible. Do you understand? You'll be like, oh my goodness, this Pastor Benson is just you. No. You try it over a period of time. Make it a habit. And just, if there's stuff on your mind, just say, Holy Spirit, this is on my mind. It might not, you know, you might not click the first time or second time. But at a particular time, thoughts will begin to come to your mind. Do you understand what I mean? So he teaches us all things. So Jesus said, this Holy Spirit that I'm sending to you, he will, one, help you. He will teach you all things. The third thing he begins to say about the Holy Spirit is in John chapter 16, verse 3. John chapter 16 and verse 3. And he says, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And that's in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, John chapter 16, 13. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So it says the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. So what that means is, when you're reading the Bible, right, you can read it in a number of ways. You can read it like you're reading the Daily Mail. What was the other newspaper that they... Or a newspaper, and just like, okay, this is a nice story. No problem. You can read it that way. But there is a certain way that the Holy Spirit can explain certain things about the Bible to you that is applicable in your life. And it will seem like there's someone who is like speaking to your mind about what this Bible verse means, what that Bible verse means. No, it doesn't mean that. This is what it means. That's what it means. And as you read the Bible, or as you listen to the word, he will give you like an understanding, okay, that is what that actually means, and this is how it applies in my life. The Holy Spirit is the one that does that. Do you understand? So that's the third thing. We also see in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The fourth thing, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit actually comforts us as well. And in Acts chapter 9, It says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, increased in number. The King James Version says, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So when you're flat and out, when you're sad, when you're feeling like, you know, the whole world is upside down, so to speak, the Holy Spirit is right by your side to encourage you. Do you understand what I mean? Now, the other thing we'll look at is this, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. It says the Holy Spirit also reveals God's plans for us. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. That there's so many things that God wants to do in your life. There are so many plans that God has for your life. And God will reveal it to you by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I mean? By the Holy Spirit, if you ask. If you ask. And I remember that there are times that maybe, you know, I'm talking to people and it would just come to my mind, not what they're thinking, but where they want to go and where God wants them to go to. I remember there was someone I was talking to. This was, I think it was at our headquarters. So they said, okay, everybody here, I think that was last year, they were talking about how we operate the gifts of the Spirit in terms of prophecy, all these things. We'll mention those next week. And I was talking to this young girl at the church in the headquarters. And it's okay, let us, you know, pray and see what God says about everybody. So they paired us with one person. So they asked that I should, you know, pair up with this young girl. So we started to pray. And some things began to happen. Suddenly, I just saw her. And God just began to show me by the Holy Spirit. She wanted to make some decisions. She wanted to travel abroad. She didn't know which one she was going to go to. And she had to make the decision the next day. And apart from that decision, so many things in a second. And so I now said, okay, sister, this is, you want to make a decision? This, and this. And she began to cry. I said, why are you crying? And she said, my goodness, that's exactly what was on her mind. Now, how did I know? By magic? No. By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. So, why am I saying all these things to us? I'm saying all these things to us, and we'll pray in a minute, because it has nothing to do with whether I'm a pastor or someone is like a special person or someone is this or that. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. The only thing is that once you're born again, once you're a believer, all this is yours. God has given you every single thing that I've described there. God can teach you by the Holy Spirit everything you need to know. God can show you what the future is for your future and maybe somebody else's future. Do you understand what I mean? So the question we might ask is this. All right, you understand all this, but how come all this isn't happening in my life at the moment? I feel like I'm all alone. Do you get what I mean? The truth of the matter is this. You are not all alone. What am I saying here? I'm saying here that as you're sat here, as you're moving around, going from place to place, God in the Holy Spirit is right beside you, waiting to help you. Do you understand? Waiting to talk to you. He's there when you're sad, to encourage you. When you need direction, he's there to tell you where to go. Do you understand? So God says he's with us by the Holy Spirit. What I'd just like us to do now is I'd just like us to pray.